At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Hello and welcome to this week's What Most People Think, and it is Trump 2, the sequel. This time it's personal. It might be getting very personal. Maybe that's why Joe Biden issued so many pardons. But joining me to sort of pick over the bones, the debris, the glitz, the glamour of the Trump inauguration is political expert Francis Foster of Trigonometry fame. So, Francis, are you out there in DC? Let's just pretend you are. Fuck it, we can.
No, I'm not in North London. No, I'm in DC, mate. I'm in DC. Exactly. Ignore that the foxes are still shagging outside my window.
Maybe DC means downtown Croydon. I don't know. But it's very good to have you with us. Did you watch it yesterday? Because it kind of happened a watchable time for people that do our job, which was after 3 p.m. when most of us are just pissing about. So it was quite easy to take it all in.
Yeah, speak for yourself, mate. The alt-right never sleeps. So,
well, if you'd have been truly all right, you'd have been out there, wouldn't you? I heard it was a fucking jamboree.
Yeah, it was. It was. Everybody who is anybody who is flirting with the alt-right was out there, mate. I actually did get an invite to go, but they're not right-wing enough for me now. You know.
Well, the problem with the phrase alt-right is normally it's a pejorative and it's another way of saying far-right. But when they're the ones in charge, quite comprehensively, I don't know if you can really call it the alt-right anymore. I guess they're just the right. And then the sort of old school Republicans that find Trump distasteful, they're now the alternative right, because that's what it was supposed to mean, wasn't it? It's alternative, unless I've missed something here.
No, it was. I mean, it was coined in, 2014, 2015. Milo Yiannopoulos takes credit for it. That doesn't sound like Milo. When has he ever done that? But yeah, so the alt-right was a term for this new right, the sort of Trumpism, this populist wave of right-wing politics and thought and thinking and all the rest of it. So yeah, So that's how it started. And then it then started to mean fascist or fascist adjacent, which is what you are, Jeffrey.
That's why I have you on the podcast, mate. You know, I've got to keep my links to the goose stepping far right. Actually, as that comes up, I mean, what we're going to do is we're going to look back on all the big things that came out of the inauguration. We'll look at the fun stuff, but we'll also look at some of the policy stuff. But one of the things that I missed yesterday evening, but apparently has been big news, is that Elon Musk was accused of doing a Nazi salute. Now, if you watch the video, it didn't look... What it looked like was... I think the guy, whatever you think about him, he's a bit of a knob, right, Musk? He just is a bit clueless. He's trying to be with the cool lads and stuff. And he tried to do one of those... I think what he tried to do was where you sort of bang your chest and you point and say, like, my heart is your heart, all this sort of bollocks. But
yeah,
but some people think there was a Nazi salute. Well, what's your take?
Oh, look, if you think genuinely, look, what it was is an autistic man trying to convey emotion, which is what it was. And because he's autistic, it comes across as deeply awkward, because that's what autism means. He's a genius, but he's also awkward, socially awkward. That's kind of how it works. So he was meant to do this. I punch my chest and I give it out to you. And I love you and thank you for everything that you're doing. Don't take a screenshot because it looks dodgy, right? That's what he was meant to do in, like, you know, America and whatever else. And what he inadvertently did was sort of in, if you take a snapshot at the correct time, at the correct angle, It looks a little bit dodgy. And then what happens is PBS and a lot of right left-wing publications and broadcasters went, he did a Nazi salute. It's like, even if he was a Nazi, which he very clearly isn't, he very clearly isn't, because Nazis want an ethno-state, and Musk has been out and proud, much to the criticism of MAGA, about wanting the brightest and best to come over to America, and America should be a meritocracy, and we shouldn't just be prioritizing Americans, it should be prioritizing brightest and best. So that already shows you that he's not a Nazi. Right.
It would be an incredible decision, right? It would be an incredible decision with the world's media on you to just go, do you know what? I feel like we're on top at the moment. I'm just going to throw in a Heil Hitler and just and just see how that plays out. But look, I guess it's one of those ones, and we've seen this in politics in this country, whereby if you have strong negative feelings about a politician, you just view it through that prism. I remember there was a, do you remember that time when Boris Johnson said people of colour, and for some reason at first listen it did sound like he said coloured people, and it sort of went halfway around the internet before people slowed it down and realised that he absolutely did say people of colour rather than coloured people. So I guess some of it comes down to how you feel about the people. But like I say, me and Francis, we're going to chat about some of the big news and moments coming out of that inauguration, and we're also going to look at Keir Starmer's message to President Trump. And I want to talk a little bit about how some people, there's an increasing number of people who, I don't know, they seem to be quite enjoying the idea of Trump punishing Britain. So we want to talk about this idea of like being anti-Starmer, but ending up at that point where you sort of want tariffs put on Britain, which is a slightly different take on things. And then in the Patreon only, we're looking at the breaking news about this inquiry that the government have announced into the Southport murders. All right, new patrons. Remember, if you want to get the show early, ad-free and with bonus content, go to patreon.com, just type in my name or what most people think, and you can become a patron. You get the show. Did I say that? Early, ad-free and with bonus content?
Yeah, you did, mate. Say it again. You need to say it. There's a saying in advertising that they need to hear it three times. Say it again.
If I was an American advert right now, I'd go, what was that? I said early, ad-free, and with bonus content. My name is Jeffrey F. Norcott, and I approve this message. Oh, by the way, Donald J. Trump, first time I found out that his middle name is John, didn't know it. I don't know about you, did not know that his middle name was John. I just thought it was like a J just to sound cool, like Scott F. Fitzgerald. I'd not probably find out that F meant Frank. Did you know that his middle name was John?
Yes, but it was still a surprise to me when they said it, because there's a very English part of me that goes, why is it bloody not called Jonathan? John is an abbreviation.
Jonathan. Yeah, I mean, that's a very un-Trumpy name to be called Jonathan. While we're doing middle names, what's your middle name?
James.
James. You are Francis J. Foster.
Yeah.
It's good as a middle name, isn't it? It's good. It works for Homer J. Simpson anyway. But yeah, we talked many, many different takeaways from the inauguration down to the, well, incredibly fucking trivial. We got one new patron to welcome this week. We've got Bikram Rama. Bikram Rama, who said, I mean, it's very hard not to kind of go straight.
Isn't that a type of yoga?
Yes, I mean, it may well be. I think some of my new patrons are now trolling me just to see what they'll get me. They can get me to read out. A bit like, you know, Moe's Tavern in The Simpsons, where they just think I'll put in a name, yeah, see if this dickhead will read it. But yeah, all new patrons get your name roasted on the show. And if you haven't had it roasted, then do message me. Patreon are doing this weird thing where they keep moving stuff around, so I have to go and find the messages now. But trust that I will read all of them in the end, and I will get round to doing your roast. The main talking point, our super David Patreon, David Domain, who picks up on stuff from previous weeks. We were talking about phonetic call signs in the NATO phonetic alphabet. And there are several letters that are commonly used first names, right? So I'll give you the first one, Francis, like Charlie is for C, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you think of any others? There are 7 points available here.
For Alpha, Beta, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot.
No, well, I mean, you've completely you've completely fucked that up.
Hotel.
Oh my God. You've really embarrassed yourself there, mate. I said for first names, so I gave you an example, Charlie. There's a reason I didn't start with A, you knob.
All right. Sierra.
All right, yeah. If you're an R&B star, I'll give you them. Charlie, India, Juliet, Mike, Oscar, Romeo and Victor. And well done to anybody playing along at home that got all seven. I like to do my Richard Osman impression.
What about Sierra?
Sierra, well, yes. I mean, yes, there was a... There was an R&B star called Sierra, but I would argue that it's not... It's the kind of name you can only pull off if you're an R&B star. You know, you can't do that and work at DVLA. Census. So we spoke also about the census for 2021. So we spoke about the misconception among us liberal elites, and I include you in that, Francis, about just how many gay people there are. People who live in cities tend to overestimate the number of gay people. So what would be your perception of the percentage of gay people in Britain? I mean, I've kind of led you a bit there, but just as a percentage.
So the public perception is that it's 10%. In reality, yeah. I was talking to a gay lad about this. It's about 1%.
Yeah, 1.3% at the last census. So that's even lower than I thought. Is gayness going down? What's going on? Let's make Britain gay again, like MAGA. But let's get our numbers up.
Yeah, let's get it up in more ways than one. No, you know what I think it is? I think it's that, you know, people being gay is like being socialist. Like everybody wants to pretend like they're secretly a little bit socialist.
Yeah.
Or I'm secretly a little bit gay. But when push comes to shove, and you've got to get down to it.
When push comes to shove, I don't know what image you have of gay sex and a foreplay. Is that what you think the foreplay is? Is a push followed by a shove?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want to have sex with a bloke. It'd be too. Do you know what I mean? I'm not enough of a man to be able to do it.
Well, yeah, there was that great Steve Hughes routine. He said that the most manly thing that you could do would be to fuck a bloke. If anybody, I don't want to butcher the routine, but if you want to get yourself on YouTube, do watch that routine. It's a brilliant bit of stand up. Also, last week I was saying that there must be some right wing Green Party voters, right? It just stands to reason that every kind of church of political thought has a spectrum, and there must be some right wing Greens. And I got this really interesting email from somebody called Ben. He said, I'm a right-wing Green, and you touched on a point that infuriates me. With it being undeniable that the global climate is changing for the worse, I'll get letters on that. There will be people that disagree with that. There is nothing more important than us humans changing the way we generate energy. This should be nothing to do with politics. It is science. I find it infuriating how Green has been hijacked by pie-in-the-sky left-wingers. Hey, did you know that there were Greens that spoke like this? Why does the Green Party 2024 manifesto talk of rent controls? Why does it talk of having a 10-to-1 pay ratio in all organisations? 4-day working week, completely opening the borders. Absolute fucking madness. There you go. There's somebody. I would love to have a beer with Ben, a right-wing Green voter just sitting there banging his fist on the table. He's like us, Francis, but he just cares about the planet, unlike us.
Well, you know, actually, if you're truly conservative, I mean, you think about the meaning of the word conservative, it's to conserve, to protect, to make sure that things don't get changed too much at too rapid a pace. Mm. But also there are certain things that make this country what it is. If you think about, I think it's Jerusalem, England's green and pleasant land.
Yeah.
If you are truly a conservative, you should actually be an environmentalist like Margaret Thatcher was.
Yep. And do you remember when Cameron got in, they changed the emblem to a tree?
Yeah.
It went all hug a hoodie. Do you remember that with Cameron?
Yeah.
Robert Jemrick and Kemi Badenoch have moved quite a long way from that. But, you know, that was when I got bitten by the conservative radioactive spider, when it was all, mate, when you could be socially liberal and economically right-wing.
What most people think.
All right, the thank you and the fuck you. The thank you is I did a gig in Canvey Island. It's impossible to say it without saying it like that. Canvey.
Hmm.
So I did a gig in Canvey Island last Friday. And I don't know if you've ever been there, Francis, but it's separated by a very small waterway. I didn't realise it was an actual island first up. And it's a bit of the East End preserved in aspic forevermore. Mm. The most fast food joints I've ever seen. So one of the main roads that goes through Canvey, it's just got so many fast food. It was like the Las Vegas Strip for cholesterol. It was astonishing. Every 40 yards, there was a kebab, chip shop, pizza shop. And where I went to get my dinner at a curry house, right near the venue, which weirdly had an R&B DJ playing live, which was fucking weird. And then next to it had two kebab shops next to it and a pizza place. So I think if you live in Canby Island, are you aware of this over-concentration? Does it have an impact on your health system? Is the mortality rate in Canby worse than in other parts of the country? But also, when are you going to make it into a tourist thing? That's what I would say. You know, like you do a famous pub crawl. You could just do a you could do a BMI crawl. Just get your BMI up doing the Canby mile.
Do you know in Wimbledon Village? You know, there's a Wimbledon Village pub crawl.
Yes.
Do you know who was the... I think it was the bloke widely credited with inventing that.
Who was that?
Oliver Reed.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. He used to be seen falling out of pubs up in Wimbledon Village, Dog and Fox.
Yeah, so he used to do... I think it was a pint and a shot in each pub. And I think there's 12 pubs in Wimbledon Village, or there were at the time.
Yeah, I think I did that on Saturday and I'm still feeling it. But I did it in the cheap ass end of Wimbledon. People just don't think that. People think every bit of Wimbledon's nice, but you know the area. We ended up in the Prince of Wales pub, which is fondly known as the POW, the Prisoner of War. But they had a live band on. It was fun. Anyway, what's your fuck you, Francis?
What is my fuck you? That's, you know, you sent it to me and I was like, I'm doing therapy at the moment.
Good.
So and I'm also meditating.
Wanker. So I have to say that. No, it's good. It's good. It's good for you. This is good. This is good news for you. We're all glad to hear it.
So I was thinking, what is my fuck you? And here's my fuck you. I think my fuck you is actually everybody who isn't honest about what is actually happening in this country when it comes to freedom of speech. When you look at things like the Scottish hate speech laws that have come in, that they have criminalised public performance, the fact that as part of Islamophobia Awareness Month, we are now openly discussing, and the Labour government is very open to this, implementing hate speech laws in this country. And my fuck you is to the people who want to bring that in, Tahir Ali, go fuck yourself. And also the people who are either celebrating it, or even worse than that, the people who are apathetic to it. I find it genuinely terrifying.
So how does this relate to you being in therapy and doing meditation?
Because I'm trying not to get angry at it. And I'm trying not to... when stupid comedians online go, there's no problem with free speech, go, you are so stupid. You are so monumentally double-digit thick.
Good. See, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get you to anger. You got there in the end, you see?
Yeah.
Don't do therapy, mate. Don't lose what you really are.
And I just sit there and I just see them with their dribbling, chinless faces. And I'm like... And I can't, you know, but I'm not going to get into arguments anymore online. It's not good for me, Jeff.
No, just go and meditate. I've done meditation sometimes. And the thing is it does generally work reasonably well. But when you do the guided ones, they're always saying to you, just lie down, try and clear your mind. If stuff comes into your mind, that's okay. Just welcome the thought and tell it to fuck off again. Like, it's always that. And then they keep telling you that if stuff comes into your mind, it's okay. And then they keep telling you to the point where you go, well, it sounds like it's not okay. Okay? It sounds like I'm failing at meditation, just like I'm failing at being a father. All right, let's talk a bit of politics now. We're going to start off with a deep dive on everything that happened at the Trump inauguration. Okay, Francis, political expert, one half of Trigonometry. The important question, what did you think of Melania's hat?
Do you know the thing that stood out? I think it was a very nice hat. I thought the kiss was a bit weird.
Yeah, so the air kiss. Now, first up, a lot of people on the left immediately jumped on this as a sign that she doesn't love him, she hates him and stuff. But equally, when your missus is that made up, I think a lot of blokes will have been there where she's like, you keep your distance, you do not ruin this look. And also, the brim of the hat also created its own perimeter. And just for political balance, there was an image of him later planting a very firm kiss on her cheek. So before you go with your fucking fake news, okay, Francis, the Trumps did share a kiss, all right?
Yeah. So that was quite interesting. But the highlight for me was Jeff Bezos's wife wearing a lovely lacy little number, you know, reminded me of the glory days of the Works in Kingston in the late 90s.
She was dolled up.
You know, a bird would come out, you know, she'd be all dolled up, but, you know, flashing a bit of flesh, lovely. And Mark Zuckerberg giving a little cheeky side eye to it.
Yes, so if people didn't see this, all the tech bros were sat together. Sorry, and who was the lady? Was it Jeff Bezos' wife, or was she...
Oh, his missus. I don't know if she's his wife.
So they're all sitting around and they all cast the chip. I mean, yeah, she looked fantastic. There was a sort of negligee type thing. And of course, these days, I don't know, we go into a point where we are allowed to say that we notice these things again, because, I mean, I think that the evidence that people were noticing was quite clear. I mean, on a more serious note, all these tech bros, I was looking at them, Zuckerberg, Musk and Bezos, and I thought, you've all been on a bit of a journey with Trump, haven't you?
Yeah.
Zuckerberg, you banned him from your site. Musk, you banned him from yours. Jeff Bezos, you've sort of campaigned against him. Musk campaigned for Biden a little while ago. And they're all sitting there, mate. They're all sitting there. And look, if people are pro-Trump or whatever, but you have to view this with a certain amount of cynicism, isn't it? It's about the preservation of control, wealth and influence.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, when Zuckerberg went on Rogan's show and was just going how he now believes in free speech. I'm like, what, now? Now you believe in free speech? Yeah, not when it actually mattered. Not when he actually, you know, people were getting cancelled for saying things that then turned out to be accurate about the pandemic. You see, my fucking therapy. You've just made me angry again.
This is the Francis that we want. This is the Francis we want.
Yeah.
It was funny, you know, like, I don't think that the liberal salty tears and the woke mind virus stuff, I don't think people lost their shit as much this inauguration as they did last time, apart from thinking that maybe Musk did a Nazi salute. But there were one or two standout moments. Alistair Campbell did the obligatory "I never realised America was so white" tweet. So this was based on the composition of people, I guess, on the stage. I didn't do the numbers. I mean, it was fairly white, but there were some non-white faces there. But kind of the point was that, you know, when there was the Obama inauguration and a lot of the artists who attended and sung were black, like, people didn't mention that, you know, you either think it all matters or none of it matters. And then the other thing that people quickly pointed out was the five people doing the Rest Is Politics coverage US were all white. So, you know, so people were able to quite quickly present an image back to him of his panel for the US election. So you either care about diversity or you don't. I mean, it was interesting that I think a lot of people would have been surprised to see that J.D. Vance, his wife, I don't know what her heritage is, but she is she's not white, you know, she's a woman of colour.
She can identify as whatever she wants, Jeff.
I don't know, not now Trump's in, mate. I mean, we'll get to that shortly. But one of the funny moments was, I don't know if you saw when they had, like, the faith leaders up, and they had, like, a rabbi up, he did his bit. And then the next guy, I think he was, like, an evangelical Christian. I wasn't entirely sure. But my God, he stormed it. He was like, when the Lord prayed and rained down, he rose up to the mountain. And then I don't know who the next guy was. I think he might have been Catholic. But I was like, fuck me. We've all been there when the previous guy stormed the shit out of it. It reminded me of following Kevin Bridges in Glasgow.
It's interesting that you said that. Like, you can't. When you get one of those preachers up, and you've got to do a religious sermon after that. You're just looking at your notes going, yeah, that ain't going to work. Nah. Yeah, yeah. You can't match that energy. Do you know what I mean? You just can't.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm just going to get my head down and I'm going to do my time, all right? They just got to be real. And I think that was actually the point where the BBC coverage went back to the studio, the ultimate insult. They were like, yeah, I think this is done. It was interesting as well, like the proximity of all of it, whereby the claustrophobic nature, because it was indoors, it just brought the focus in on more squarely on who was on the stage. And it was quite a brutal thing that Biden and Kamala Harris had to sit within, you know, plain sight while Trump's speech sort of shat on their legacy. You know, some things he said were fair. Some things he said were like, you know, this was some sort of year zero for America and he was going to do things that never been thought about before. But it was quite a thing to have to just sit there. I mean, you know, democracy does rely on the loser's consent. So fair play to them for, you know, playing their part in the democratic system. But I guess Trump, because of what happened in 2020, Trump never had to do that, did he? He avoided that kind of scrutiny.
You know what was I found? It reminded me of, you remember, I don't know, like, because you struck me as quite a good student, but when I was in the midst of my little prick year, shall we say, and I remember going to a parents' evening and then sitting down with my dad and then my year nine maths teacher giving a full and frank assessment of my, shall we just say, efforts in class. Mm. And saying how they had been less than satisfactory. It kind of had that feel to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're there and you're like, oh, God.
I mean, if Biden had actually known what was going on, that would have been really hard for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what he thought was happening. He was just like, is that my own paranoia talking? It is kind of, you know, brutal, but I think Joe was like, hey, it doesn't matter. I've pardoned my whole fucking family and everyone that's ever known me. I'm going to be all right. Although, interestingly, he didn't pardon Nancy Pelosi, so he exits office with some of his own pettiness.
What most people think.
All right, let's talk about, like, more specifically policy, because there was a lot of focus on these executive orders whereby he can't get all of them through, but there's some stuff he can do, some stuff he can make a move on and see whether or not it's overruled by the courts or Congress or whatever. One of the things he's done, did you see the video of him withdrawing from the WHO?
No.
No, right. So he's in the process of signing loads of them. And somebody goes, oh, what's this one? And he says, Mr. President, that's withdrawing for the WHO. And he goes, ooh, a big one. And it's just literally like watching a kid opening presents on Christmas Day. I mean, this is one thing. Trump was even signing executive orders on stage at his kind of like after party gig. It's just fucking mental, isn't it?
You know, I went to one of the final Republican rallies in Trump rallies. In Madison Square Garden. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
With Hulk Hogan on stage. So myself and Constantine went to watch it. And we were just sitting there, open with Tony Hinchcliffe. I'm like, well, this is different. So Tony went on, did his set. And then it was just, you know, you just watch Elon Musk come on, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard. And it was an arena, the Madison Square Garden, and people were going wild. And then Hulk Hogan came on the stage. And then he's old now, so he couldn't quite rip the shirt robustly as he once was able to. And he was like, argh. But then, and then he did a speech. None of it made sense. And that got that went down the storm, the biggest. You know, there's no way you could follow that. And I'm just there watching it going, can you imagine this at the Conservative Party conference? Can you imagine Kemi Badenoch going, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do the Conservative Party conference at the O2. They wouldn't even be able to sell 200 seats.
It is a weird thing with British American politics. They do it does have a scale and a glitz about it. And Trump signing executive orders on stage, I mean, literally turning what was used to always be a fairly dull bit of admin into an actual performance art and then lobbing Sharpies out into the crowd. I mean, this is the problem, is he lobs up this content for us, but we should be. I mean, even now, we're supposed to be talking about policy and we're talking about the theatre of it all. But let's drill down into policy. I mean, there are these tariffs on Canada and Mexico of 25%, which are loosely supposed to come in on the 1st of February. I mean, is this really about avocados and maple syrup, or is this another lever on immigration? Because you look at Canada, you go, oh, there's a border at the top. And there's a border at the bottom. Does he really want to do, you know, make stuff more expensive, or is it just he wants to get them to do things on immigration which suit his agenda?
I think that's probably a large part of it. Not so much Canada, because the Canadian border is an issue, but it's nowhere near as pressing an issue as the Mexican border. Everybody knows that. And it's one of the main reasons the Dems lost. When I was in America in November and I was talking to people, and I try and talk to everyone, I actually find regular people far more interesting than the commentariat or the elites or whatever you want to call them. And talking to cab drivers, talking to people working in shops, coffee shops, whatever. And a lot of them were going, I'm going to vote Trump. And the two reasons they gave was the economy and immigration. And frequently they was prefaced with the words, like, I think he's a bit of an asshole, but
yeah,
this needs to be sorted. And it needs to be sorted as a matter of urgency.
I think that was the words that my wife said just before she agreed to marry me. I think he's a bit of an arsehole, but I do.
Ha!
Okay, just a quick hype, a reminder. So you know about my news about Times Radio. The ITVX Basic Bloke stand-up special, that's available now. A lot of people have been watching it. You can watch it on your big telly. Old Jeff on your big telly. I let my son watch a bit of it, Francis. And, you know, it was quite cool because he was sort of impressed. It was Daddy on the big telly. And then Daddy started saying stuff. And then he was just looking at me. You know that weird way that kids judge their parents? It's like, where the fuck do you get off, man? But, like, he's absolutely right. I am, you know, at my core, a piece of shit. But if you wanna watch that, that would be awesome. And Francis, I'm gonna be going on your podcast. We're doing the old home and away leg, aren't we? So how's your podcast going?
It's going well. We're building it bit by bit. I'm really loving it. It's called Francis Foster Sorts Your Life Out, and what I do is I get frequently comedians on, people who are the least qualified to sort your life out.
Yeah.
And we get questions from our audience, and you're going to help sort their life out, Jeffrey.
I love it. I love giving advice. I mean, I used to ask for it on this podcast, but people, because it's mainly listened to by blokes, this, I think it's about 75% blokes, something like that, is that blokes just never take that opportunity. They just, you know, they don't want to tell you about their problems. They're like, I don't even tell my own fucking family about my problems. Why would I email whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com? But I do miss them, actually. So if you've got any dilemmas, there was one, I think we had one years ago that was a good funny one. It was about a guy that was in a power struggle with his stepson who'd suddenly got taller than him. I love that sort of shit. So email that in and then look out for me appearing on Francis's podcast. Okay, we're just going to talk a little bit about Keir Starmer and what Trump now being in power does for him, because Starmer did a video to Trump, and it was so funny. I watched the Starmer welcome video like just after I'd watched Trump talking, and the change in pace and tone was fucking incredible. It just went from a guy going, to village people, to a guy going, and we would like to welcome Mr. Trump. And it just felt like, you know, when a podcast goes on 0.5 speed. I don't know if people have been commented on. Starmer speaks unbelievably slowly. He speaks really slowly. And there was just no colour to it at all. There was no, I'm not saying he has to like, you know, I suppose he could have gone super Trumpian. He could have gone like, hey, let's get our super hot wives together and party. Like, that's clearly not his style. But I suppose the thing with Trump, if you want to be his mate, and that's what Starmer seems to want to be, you've got to get his attention first. But that is so out of character for Keir Starmer. What can he do, Francis? What can he do to repair? You know, Trump's clearly not a big fan, is he? What can he do?
Well, Trump isn't going to be a big fan. Can you imagine those boys hanging out?
No.
In any normal part of life. It just wouldn't. Like, number one, Keir Starmer is an Arsenal fan. That tells you everything that you need to know about Keir Starmer. And I think, honestly, I think if Trump, if he was a football fan, he'd be Chelsea.
I think it might even be Millwall.
Millwall aren't successful enough. It'd be Chelsea. It'd be brash. It'd be like a bit Novo Reich. It'd be, you know, rubbing people's faces in it, an undercurrent of violence and nastiness, but nothing you can quite place your finger on.
I like Novo Reich. I think that's the best pronunciation of anything I've ever heard. The old Novo Reich, mate, the old Novo Reich. I think with Arsenal, I think Trump would have a better chance of getting on with Gunnosaurus than he would with Keir Starmer. I think he would just think Gunnosaurus was on his level. This guy's on my level. He understands. He sees it this way. I'm working on the impression, by the way. I mean, did Starmer make mistakes in his appointments, right? Should they have had more of an eye on the possibility of Trump getting in? Because, you know, David Lammy, there was history. And by all accounts, Lammy went out there and Trump loves him. I've never heard Trump say that he loves him, but that's all coming from David Lammy.
I've never heard anyone say that they love David Lammy.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a common feeling. And then also, you know, we've not inviting Elon to the investment summit. Now, I understand that occurred in the context of the aftermath of the riots and, you know, Musk was doing his thing of sharing a variety of stuff, some of which had a point to it, some of which was unfounded bollocks. So Starmer didn't feel like he could invite him to that. But those are two decisions there which have created a lot of problems. So is he going to have to rely on Farage?
Well, this is it. It's very, very interesting now to see how power and status in politics changes. Like, it's like the old, you know, adage says, 2 weeks is a long time in politics. Mm. And I think Lammy was hedging his bets that Kamala was going to win. which just goes to show how out of touch David Lammy is.
Yeah.
And what I find really interesting now is how does Starmer position himself? Because the reality is our economy's in the toilet and it's going and it's sinking day by day. We need America far more than they need us, is the brutal truth of it. So what is Starmer going to do in order to reach out? Bear in mind, they're so politically opposed to each other. Not only politically in terms of personality. I can't think that they would be able to maintain a conversation past 5 minutes. But Starmer needs to do something, because otherwise we are going to suffer a lot more. He's going to need Farage, basically.
So the other side of this, right, is that I've noticed on the right, there are some people that are so happy that Trump is in power, and they're literally saying things like, we're back. You're like, who's we, all right? We're Britain, they're the US, we have a close relationship. I think you might be getting a bit fucking carried away here, lads. Oh, we are so back. Who the fuck is we? I mean, I guess there will be cultural and political blowback that they might be looking forward to, but there's another dimension to this where people are sort of getting off on the idea of Trump punishing Britain. I have seen people who, during the Brexit years, mocked Remainers for you know, when Remainers were kind of getting off on the idea of punishment beatings from the EU, they're doing exactly the same thing. There's so much of what the online right are doing now, which is just the mirror image of what happened before. But the only difference is now they're in the ascendancy. Look, there are aspects of Trump's agenda that I understand why they'd appeal to the right, but we're still Britain. You know what I mean? The idea of him fucking us over and us suddenly going, ha, take that, Starmer. You go, no, we will suffer by that. You know, Starmer, Labour Party have a massive majority. Starmer is not going to go anywhere for a while. So the idea that supporting Trump as a means of unseating the Labour Party and Keir Starmer is just not fucking realistic. So the only thing that could really happen is that Britain suffers economically as a result. Do you find it weird?
I actually don't find it weird, Jeff, because what you're basically talking about is people who, although they are on the opposite side of the political spectrum, fundamentally they are the same type of people. They are the same type of people. I've had arguments with these people. They come up to me and they were just like, this person, we need to get rid of him. We need to destroy his career. Like, you know, Alistair Campbell. And I disagree with Alistair Campbell a lot. And I actually think he should be on trial for war crimes. But they're going, yeah, we need to destroy him. And you're going, well, all right. But isn't that just what progressives did 4 or 5 years ago to people whose views that they disagreed with? They'll go, no, it's different. I'm like, well, why is it different? Well, because he deserves it.
And it's all the old days started, isn't it? That's the impression I got, that I thought, you know, a few years back, one of the sort of interesting things about the cultural right was that they were against censorship, they were against ideological purity, and they were against cancellation. But it turns out some of those people weren't against any of that. They were just annoyed that it wasn't them doing it. They just want to be the ones leading the charge.
Yeah. Because it's like all of these people, what they actually want is power and the ability to influence other people's lives in any way that they see fit. So when they see people that they disagree with, or that they say things that are, you know, way off the reservation, which, let's be fair, lots of people do on both sides of the political spectrum, they're like, yeah, let's fucking cancel them. You can almost see them become tumescent in their rage.
Oh, beautifully worded. See, that's the therapy, mate. That's the meditation. we've never had that sort of clarity from you before. but yeah, look, in short, there's a lot of stuff that Trump's doing. And, you know, you can kind of like, you can get off on owning the libs. But if owning the libs means that my shit costs more money and my economy shrinks, maybe it wasn't worth it.
What most people think.
Okay, for the Patreon-only section now, we're going to, well, delve into the comedy goldmine of the government promising an inquiry into the Southport murders. If you're on the Patreon-only section there, that was a really interesting chat there about this inquiry that's been announced. So remember, if you're a patron, you can go in, just get the RSS feed. You can get it straight to your podcast provider. But that is the end of the show. Francis Foster, thanks so much for jumping on, mate. How are you feeling at the end of it? Do you need to go and do a little meditation,
mate,
there?
Yeah, just going to need to go and kick a wall for an hour, mate, after talking about that.
Is that, when you said therapy, is that what you meant? Just kick the shit out of a wall?
Yeah, and then go to A&E and wait 48 hours to get my foot looked at.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on
Jeff,
the show.
Jeff, just one thing. Can I plug? I'm doing a couple of shows with Leo Kearse on the 4th and 11th of February in the Hammersmith Comedy Club. Come along. It's going to be great fun.
Okay, there you go. Well, what's it called? Has it got some sort of, what's it called? Comedy, like...
Comedy for Nazis, I don't know.
Yeah, because the thing is, they've done Unleashed, so you've got to go further than that. Comedy without barriers, comedy with hate. Hateful comedy, you should
hateful
call it that.
Comedy, yeah, that's what it is. It's hate speech with punchlines. That's what we do.
Hateful, I'll call it punching down. That's what you should call it.
Boom, that's it.
Punching down with Leon Francis. All right, listen, thanks very much for appearing on the show. For Patreons, at the end of this week, you're going to get your monthly Patreon-only edition of the show, and then I'll be back next week for everybody else with the main show. Cheers.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.